Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. The 10th International Conference on Cancer in Africa took place recently in Marrakech, where hundreds of people gathered in Morocco to discuss ways to address and improve prevention, treatment and care of cancer on the continent of Africa. The conference was organized by the African Organization for Research and Training in Cancer, AORIC, a Pan-African multidisciplinary organization dedicated to the promotion of cancer care and control in Africa. According to the Africa Oxford Cancer Foundation, by 2020, there are expected to be 16 million new cases of cancer every year, 70% of which will be in developing countries, Africa being one of the very much affected regions. And these are very, very important topics, and we will discuss that. We were at the conference in Morocco, and I spoke to Dr. Beatrice Wiafie-Adai, who is a council member of AORTIC and the president and founder of Breast Care International. Take a listen.
This year's AORTIC has been extraordinary. It's opened a lot of ideas. We had a lot of interactions. We are taking cancer management in Africa to a different level. And like the team said, the roadmap. So we know we have a lot of challenges. Where are we starting from? What do we need to do? Which institutions do we need to have in place? How do we even talk to our governments for them to understand that cancer is now an issue? And so we don't wait until it becomes an epidemic before we run on it.
And actually, that was Dr. Beatrice Wiafie-Adai. And Dr. Adai is joining us today. As I mentioned earlier, she's a council member of AORTIC and president and founder of Breast Care International in Ghana. She's also the CEO of Peace and Love Hospitals in Ghana. Dr. Adai, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's very good to have you on the program. Also joining us via phone from the United Kingdom is Dr. Seth Wiafie. He's assistant professor at Loma Linda University, which is actually a university in California. Dr. Seth Wiafie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I appreciate both of you joining me today on the program. And as I mentioned earlier, I was very much happy to take part in the conference that took place in Marrakech. So much information. I spoke to the both of you when I was there. One of the things that you talked about, Dr. Wiafie-Adai, is the fact that during this year's conference, there was a lot of talk around the way forward. Tell us about some of the things that are really concretely being followed through in terms of innovations and perhaps new ways to combat this disease that seems to be growing on the continent.
Thank you so much. Let me first thank your esteemed organization for always helping us to talk about things that matter most ourselves. And the fact that in Africa, if we don't do anything about the cancer, the year 2020 and 2030, most of the cancer deaths are going to come from us. This is, something that we can't joke about. Unfortunately, cancer is a non-communicable disease. I think not to be as a priority, so we don't seem to talk about it on our country level. But we at AORTIC see it as an obligation for us to talk about it, first to create awareness about it, to let our government know that we cannot save the woman, for example, from HIV AIDS and allow her to die from breast cancer. We cannot save somebody from dying from malaria and allow the same person to die from breast cancer or prostate cancer or cervical cancer. So we have to look at these diseases, the communicable and the non-communicable diseases,
okay,
at the same time.
Okay.
And the innovations that are happening in the developed world. We in Africa do not have to reinvent the wheel. every country has its own way of tackling the disease. For example, in Ghana now, we cannot say that we are going to start screening mammography. That is way ahead of us. But we can do something, okay, like teaching our nurses how to do the clinical breast examination, by teaching our first-level medical health personnel how to do things like the fine needle aspiration biopsy or the core biopsy.
Dr. Adai, unfortunately, we're having a little trouble with your line, so the technician will try to call you back. Hopefully, we'll have a better connection. Unfortunately, okay, we're having difficulties. They'll call you right back. And let me come to you, Dr. Seth. Dr. Adai mentioned breast cancer, which is something that she's been working extensively on in Ghana and abroad. You took part in a study, which is still ongoing, correct me if I'm wrong, in Ghana, looking at the incidence of breast cancer among Ghanaian women. You focus on the cultural influence, so to speak, on why women will come for late presentation. Before we get into that, as you took part of the study, can you give us a sense of some of the findings, not just a big picture? What did you find so far?
Are you talking about the Ghana Breast Health Study?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, that's actually very early on in the process. We just completed the data collection phase. Okay. And this is a case control study, okay, that we are looking at the risk factors.
Okay.
At this moment, I probably would not be able to share
absolutely
the outcome of the study, but what I can say is that we have collected about 2,200 cases, which are actually women that are suspected of breast cancer, and also we have recruited another 2,000 controls, and these are women that don't have the risk of having breast cancer, and we are going to analyze this data,
okay,
to look at the various risk factors that affect Ghanaian women.
Okay. Now, Dr. Seth, when we look at the way breast cancer is developing about among women in Africa, and having interviewed Dr. Adai several times in the past, one of the things that she shared with me is the fact that they come for late presentation. And you took a look at something that is very important for those of us who are from Africa, our culture, traditions, how it influences our behavior. You took a look at how culture is influencing behavior to some extent in terms of the way women come to the hospital to get screened. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. The problem we have in Africa is that most of the women who come to the hospital at a very late stage where literally not much can be done. Now, that is something that is very different from what happens in the West. In the West, we do have women that are diagnosed very early. Therefore, treatment becomes effective. Mm-hmm. But when we come to Africa, they come in very late. Unfortunately, one of the things that we have not really looked at is how our culture and our social practices may contribute to this, because culture is the way one lives, and sometimes some of the things that we believe in, some of the things that we think is putting us together as a people, may be a hindrance as far as health services are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, our belief in evil spirits that may have some hindrance in the woman coming late, because if the disease is not considered as a disease which can affect anybody, but rather it comes as a result of an evil spirit, the woman is tend to look for spiritual solution rather than a medical solution. Also, we need to look at the way our systems are made in terms of our patriarchy system, that the man in Africa, in most African countries, the man is considered as very important in the family. In fact, in Ghana, in some parts, the women call the men like my lord. And so if that comes in and the man decides not to allow the woman to go for early screening or early treatment, the woman is locked up. And so I thought it is important for us to look at this aspect of our life to see if it may contribute to the lateness of presentation into the hospitals. Right. Also, mm-hmm. in Ghana specifically,
yes.
there is a healthcare system which may also have an impact. For instance, we have a pluralistic system where the orthodox or the modern medical system is running alongside with the traditional medical practices. And so is it possible that the women may be confused along the way to know which way to go? So we need to address these issues. I'm not saying that traditional medicine is not good, but is it really helping our women in terms of breast cancer?
And that's a good question. And that leads me back to Dr. Adai, who we are able to have now. Thank you so much again for joining us. And let me mention that you are also the race chair of the Susan G. Komen Ghana Race for the Cure and the chair of BCI Ghana Walk for the Cure. And Dr. Adai, Dr. Seth talked about such important issue when it comes to the impact of culture in women's access to at least desire or possibility to have access to care. What do you tell these women, or what do you see in your practice, given that day in and day out, this is something you do, dealing with women who have breast cancer? What do you see? What can you tell us in terms of the challenges and others?
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me back. Breast is a very big issue. I mean, we respect our husbands. We respect our men. And so when the man speaks, most often the woman cannot speak. That's the traditional way of doing things. But we also have to empower our women to be able to take some decisions when it comes to their personal lives. And you see the man walking away with the woman from the hospital, and the woman cannot do anything because, number one, the woman depends solely on the man. So if the man is not there, she sees herself also not there. And so if we are able to empower the women in a way, it will actually help for the woman to know that, no, it's my disease, it's my breast, and I want to live. I don't want to die. So in our outreach programs, we try to empower the women, not to tell them to disobey their husbands, but also to let them know that they have a say when it comes to their own lives. And we also talk to our men. When we go to a church, for example, we don't allow the men to leave. We speak to all of them so that the man will also be educated, because most of these issues run around lack of awareness. The man may be saying, I won't allow you, I won't allow you, because he has no idea what we are talking about. So if we educate the men together with the women, we believe that is going to help. And also the youth. The youth are our priority now. The children are now able to access the internet. Almost every adolescent in Ghana has a phone, and they can Google for information. So why don't we educate these ladies and gentlemen? Why don't we bring their minds to the fact that such practices, such beliefs, like it's the witchcraft, it's a spiritual disease, it's an incurable disease. We can disabuse the minds, of these children, because they are not yet brainwashed. So if we are able to talk to them, for them to look for the solutions themselves, to look on the internet and get some information themselves, mm-hmm. it will help us. They will grow up with their knowledge. They will help us to educate their mothers, their grandmothers, and their aunties at home, so that they wouldn't grow up to also become ignorant, like, and join the pool of ignorant adults that we unfortunately have.
Okay.
And that is why when we did this Ghana Breast Health Study, the first of such a study, to know the trend of the disease in our country, not to be referring to figures from the developed world, uh-huh. but to know what is happening in our community, to find out why we have a different tumor biology. Why is the disease coming and striking so early in our women? Why do we have a lot of triple negative disease? So fortunately, we am so grateful to the National Cancer Institute of the U.S. who came to help us, and we are still doing the Ghana Breast Cell Study, which is a case control study with three sites, the two teaching hospitals and the Peace and Love hospitals, to find out the epidemiology, to see whether the risk factors are different, to then look into the immunohistochemistry of our disease. And this, I believe, by the end of the study, is going to open our eyes to a lot of things.
Very, very interesting. And Dr. Seth and I were talking about it earlier. And I'm coming to you, Dr. Seth, to ask you, when you look at some of the findings in your study with, as it relates to culture, moving forward, where do you think the priorities should be? I know Dr. Adai talked about education, which is very essential. From your perspective, given your studies, what do you see? And is it even possible to tackle this, given that culture and tradition is so entrenched in who we are as Africans?
Yes, I think there's a way forward. And one of the things I want to mention is access to health care is a big problem in the country. Mm-hmm. The way the distribution of health services are in the country is so that it is difficult for many, many women to actually access these health services. It is very costly. In fact, we do have the health insurance system, but it caters for only a very small fraction, because the women have to travel so much distances to the places where they can have cancer care. It is very difficult for them. And so all these accessibility issues need to be addressed. It has to be a comprehensive program. The healthcare professionals are very limited and probably not adequately trained as far as nurses are concerned. And so in order to address these cultural issues, we need to also look at some of these issues that if we address the cultural issues by educating the women, to empower them and to make them understand that this disease is treatable and it is survivable. One of the things that actually turns these women away is the fear of mastectomy. Now, the many women that I have talked to, it is not a myth. It is something that they see. They have seen their aunties, they have seen their mothers, they've seen after they go through mastectomy, they don't last long. And the issue is, mm-hmm. the patients go to the hospital very late. And so chances of survival is very little. We do not have a good palliative care system in the country. Therefore, even if the woman does not even go through mastectomy, probably chances of dying is very high.
Okay.
And so we need to look at this issue in a very comprehensive way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no program set by the government to actually control cancer in the country, leave alone breast cancer.
Okay.
And so I think the government need to be brought into the picture in a uh-huh. very serious way. so that we look at all the various issues that may help us to reduce the time that the woman has to come to the hospital,
okay,
so that we can save more lives.
Now, Dr. Adai, Dr. Seth raised some very interesting point here. You are part of the system, given that you are a provider, you have hospitals, you raise awareness on the issues of breast cancer and beyond. What is your reaction to what he says? Because he raised so many different issues, palliative care system, the role of the government. What is your reaction?
Yeah, thank you. In fact, probably this is not peculiar to Ghana alone. In 2011, for the first time, the United Nations put the non-communicable diseases on the limelight. Every country has to, you know, sign the declaration that they are going to be committed to fighting the non-communicable diseases, the diabetes, the hypertension, and the cancers, and so on, the cardiovascular diseases. But it looks as if it was just signatures. Because when you come down the ground, you realize that very little is being done. I mean, how can we treat the disease when we are not able to diagnose it properly, and we don't have enough pathologists trained? So, and even the nurses, like, we don't have enough oncology nursing schools. So the nurse finishes the school, and she's a general practitioner, general nurse, and has very little or no idea about the cancers. So if we really have to do something, like Seth said, it has to be a comprehensive program involving the Ministry of Health and the Ghana Health Service, and to make it as a priority that cancers are killing a lot of our women. In fact, the stages at which we are seeing the disease is still alarming, despite the awareness crisis that we've been doing. And this time, we are also seeing young ladies, the age of 21, 22, 24, 26, and they are coming with late-stage disease because it's not painful from the beginning, and they assume that it's nothing. So we have to drum it into, the ears of everybody, that once you're a woman, you can have this disease. And if we have the government coming on board, the way HIV/AIDS was tackled, I think we can really move somewhere. We need the government to come on board, because one NGO cannot do everything. And we need to also go to all the regions in the country. You cannot concentrate on one or two regions and leave the others to die, you know, in their late-stage diseases. And like Seth said about the palliative care, palliation is also not to be seen as the end stage of a person. And it's not only cancers that need palliation. So, and this palliative care is something that we are also not looking at it at all. At least every institution, every big hospital can have a small unit for palliative care, for pain management, so that the woman will not be in that severe pain when she has bone metastasis, for example. Okay. And when you talk about the things that you can use to manage these cases, since they are coming late anyway, we have to look at ways of doing offering care to these women who are coming late, whilst also putting in a lot of efforts to get them to come early. And like, because they are scared of mastectomy, we have to offer the acceptable mode of treatment. Uh-huh. And that is the breast-conserving surgery, which we can only do when the woman comes early.
Uh-huh.
So it all goes round and comes back to the fact that we have to pay a lot of attention to awareness creation and to demystify the disease,
uh-huh,
to try and let them know that it's a curable disease, it's a survivable disease, and highly treatable disease. And so the work of the survivors who have volunteered their life, and mind you, breast cancer and like most cancers are still stigmatized in our part of the world.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, it takes
courage for a woman to come out and say that I'm a breast cancer survivor, so you can also survive it. And also to show the prosthesis, for them not to think that you are just saying it. You know, they need to see and believe that somebody has survived the disease for many years.
Okay.
So you can also survive it. And if we are able to do this on a larger scale and involve more people, maybe not only the government, but the corporate institutions, corporate bodies, to come on board and support us to do these things, we are, by all means, there will be some light at the end of the tunnel.
The message is clear, Dr. Adai, very much so. It's clear. And Dr. Seth, let me come to you. Perhaps you have a reaction or a message to many in particular, but let me have your reaction first.
Yes, I want to say a little bit about stigmatization.
Okay.
And because of that stigmatization, when the woman discovers that there is something not right in this, in the breast, they try to keep it to themselves. They try to limit it to people that they trust because they are afraid that the husband might leave her because there's something wrong with the breast. And so these kind of cultural factors, the men need to be educated. The men need to be brought on board because it is not the the fault of the woman to actually get this disease.
And what is your message then, Dr. Seth? Because we don't have much time left, but I wanted you to say something in particular, given how much influence the men has in this big picture, as we talked about.
Yes, I think the men need to, first of all, need to understand the disease. It is a disease like everything else. And when the woman has identified a lump or a symptom in the breast, I think that's the time that she needs the most support from the man. And so if there is a good support from the man, the woman is more likely to follow up and get treatment. Some of the men that I have talked to that actually supported their wives are doing very well. And so I think we need to embrace them. We need to get out the message that this is not a death sentence. And your wife can actually live much, much longer and in a better state than if you left her.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for this message, Dr. Seth Wiafie. We appreciate your time. Dr. Seth Wiafie is joining us from London. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Beatrice Wiafie Adai, thank you so much for joining us from Ghana. We appreciate your time as well.
Thank you for having us.
And that,
always at your service.
Always a pleasure. That was Dr. Wiafie Adai, who is president and founder of Breast Care International, and Dr. Seth Wiafie, who is assistant professor at Loma Linda University in California. I thank you, our listeners, for joining in today. Thanks to all our affiliates in Africa. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vogani. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.